Would please, verse 5 says this, Judges 2, verse 5, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did in it for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, listen to this, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Heavenly Father, give me strength and wisdom. Help me now as I preach thy word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we are celebrating the accomplishments of these students for another year of learning. It has been amazing to me to have the privilege to train someone in any matter, let alone the matter of Christ and the Holy Scriptures. I would hate to leave this earth with the experiences and training that I have received without leaving them to the next generation. It'd be sad to reach heaven without giving something down here on this earth. Many have failed them in this world, but let it not be said of us that we did not give them everything they need, not only to survive, but to thrive in their lives. This has been a rough year. This has been a very rough year. Attacks from without and fears within. The adversaries have been many and often, yet we have overcome by the power of the Lamb of Glory. I thank all the teachers for their service and love for the Lord. I want to also to thank the students for their willingness to follow their pastor, their parents, and their teachers in this endeavor to train them. I will continue to thank the parishioners. The parents who have supported this school and institute from the beginning. But let us all be grateful to the Holy Spirit who gave us through the inspiration a Bible and through salvation his leadership and having these means for which to train the next generation. Here in our text, one generation is about to depart and another generation comes on the scene. We can learn much from this event that will enable us to shape the future not only of our families, but of our church and of our nation. Just a few things, and there's five of them, but it's going to be quick because I got to be quick here. Look at verse 6 and 10. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. Verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto the fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. The first one we need to see is the glory of the last generation. Now, you young people, hopefully you pay attention. Kids, sit up if you would. It really distracts me when you're bowed down. I don't know if you're praying. Hopefully you're praying for your preacher. That's what you're doing. I knew it. Taking notes from me. I don't know, but sometimes it distracts me. So the glory of the last generation, I hope you pay attention, young people, because the people, the guys and gals before you have set a foundation for you in this church. They haven't been lazy about it. They've been faithful. You have a building you're sitting in. You have pews you can sit in. You have a school. Like we said, since 1999, this school has been going on. And if I remember right, pretty close, the institute started about the same time, maybe the year before. So we've had the institute going and the school going for almost 26, 27 years. So people have gone before you and set up a foundation. This generation we're talking about in here, Israel, has just come out of the wilderness. Now, you say, what's the wilderness? The wilderness was they survived the testings. These are ones that survived 40 years of judgment. We haven't survived 40 years. We've only survived 25. But we still have a school that you could go to. Because there were testings along the way, and there are often times where I said, that's enough, I've had enough, and we have stuck it out, and you have one. They conquered the wicked nations. They suppressed temptations. Our church suppressed temptations to quit. I have never had, I'm just going to be honest with you, there has been one moment since we started the church in 1991 that I wanted to quit. Not one time. There has been one time I stopped doing what I was supposed to do. I praise God, by the grace of God, I have not failed to be in my post every day for 34 years. And the teachers, for the most part, have done the same. But there have been temptations of people quit the school, quit the church, quit the institute. We've had some even fall from it. But guess what? We're still here. So that's the glory of it. Not only that, they communicated the work of the Lord, successfully taught. There was a generation that knew the Lord, but somehow the next generation didn't. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But they passed it on all the way up to the ones that outlived Joshua. They passed on the works of the Lord. So we got to give glory to the last generation, which is myself and others that are here today. We need to see the great influence of the last generation. If you would please look at Joshua in chapter 11. Joshua, the book of Joshua in chapter 11, if you would with me. Joshua chapter 11, look down to verse 15. The Bible says this in Joshua 11 verse 15. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone, all that the Lord commanded Moses. So we see, first of all, the influence of Moses on Joshua and Caleb. Caleb was there too, but Joshua got taught from Moses. So God taught Moses, Moses taught Joshua. Later on, we see in Joshua 24, if you would please, Joshua chapter 24, in verse 31, it says this in Joshua 24, 31, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So we have Moses to Joshua, then we have Joshua to the elders, and in chapter 4, if you would please, of chapter 4, did I have chapter 4? I guess I have a chapter 4. Let's look at chapter 4. If you would please. Chapter 4 of the Joshua, verse 19. Bible says, and the people came out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east of border of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. So we see, not only, remember it says the elders that outlived Joshua. So we have Joshua teaching the elders, and elders now teaching the children. Someone said many years ago, the phrase, I don't know. That ought to be the beginning of research. A lot of times we say, I don't know, we want to stop there. No, I don't know what it means, someone teach me. Help me find out. Well, that was the influence of the last generation. They did teach the next generation. So you had one generation, Joshua to Moses, Moses, Joshua. We had a second generation, Joshua to the elders. We had a third generation, the elders to the children. But something happened between the children and the next generation. And we'll get that here in a little bit. Then we see in verse 8, if you would please, in Judges in chapter 2, we see the glory of the last generation. We see the great influence of the last generation. But thirdly, we see the gathering of the last generation. And Joshua, the son of Nun, verse 8 of chapter 2 of chapter 2, verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, what's the next word? Died, being 110 years old. Here's the thing that we need to understand, and that is the gathering of the last generation. I know we joke about things and we kind of have a little kick because we don't know how to handle loss sometimes, but if you've noticed, some people are starting to die. That's life. Guess what? Next 5 years, we'll probably lose 5 or 6 more. It's just life. People die. So the next point is the gathering of the last generation. We all get old and stricken in years. One of the things we're trying to teach a young man, and please, if you can, gentlemen that have boys, especially boys, when we have a work day, find a way to get there. Bring your boys. Teach your boys how to work. Teach them to get along with the guys and see what the guys do. It wouldn't be a bad idea if these boys with mamas hanging on their mama's skirt will let go and hang on to a hammer or a shovel instead of their mama's skirt. Get them off mom. Women, when your kids get to three, your boys especially, let them go to dad. Got silent, didn't it? We got to stop babying our boys. Our boys are too effeminate, and we need to start toughening them up to learn how to work. There's a life out there. But listen, why do I say that? Us guys are getting older. We need young men. I tell you, I have kids that graduate. We're all talking about the day in choir. Young men graduate high school. A year later, you can't find them in church. They stop coming to church. They start hitting and missing. I'm praising the Lord. I got a couple of young men that are still coming to church that graduated. I thank the Lord for that. I keep coming. That's what we need. Why? I'm getting older. I ain't as old as Joshua was when he died. He was 100 years, something years old. I'm not that old. Moses was 120. Sometimes I feel 120. I was teased today by a young man. I'm not mentioning Gibson's name. I almost backhanded him. I bent over to pick up a piece of paper. He goes, be careful getting down that low. I almost came up with the automatic reaction and smack him. I'll show you, old boy. Last person said that. I put him on his face in the dirt. No, I'm joking. He was joking. But hey, we're getting older. And it'd be nice for the young men to step up. Step up and learn how to do it with us while we're there. Not only that, we are getting weaker. We're not just getting older and stricken in years, we're getting weaker. We can't do as much as we used to be able to do. We can't go as long as we used to be able to go. Used to be I could work 8-10 hours a day, come home, go downstairs, lift weights for an hour, eat lunch, and then go out and play baseball for 2 hours, and then come back and do the same thing the next day. Man, I go home now and I think about working out. I watch a baseball game and I take a nap. Amen. I'm just telling you, it's different because we are getting older and getting weaker. Come on, ladies, are you with me too? You can't do all that you used to be able to do. We need some young ladies to step up. And I do appreciate the young ladies that are coming to church and stepping up, taking jobs. We could use some more young ladies doing teaching, some young men doing teaching and getting involved. We need that. Why? Lastly, it's because we all die. About being weakened, you remember David? They even had to set David, strong, mighty David, to beat Goliath. They had to put him aside and said, David, you're getting too old. In 2 Samuel 21, they said he waxed faint, so they said, you're not coming out with us to go to battle anymore. You stay home. That's what happens, and some young men stepped up and became the soldiers, the guys in charge. Same thing, we all die. We all die. We're going to die. Joshua died. The elders ended up dying. One of these days, I'm not going to be standing in this pulpit. I'll be in the grave, right over there by my house, planted in the grave. It's going to happen. It's called life. Someone's got to step up. Someone's got to be the next pastor. Someone has to take over whatever job that person was doing. And if it's Brad, someone else got to be the youth pastor, an associate. We need men to step up. We need young kids. The reason why we have school is so the next generation can be prepared to step up. The sad part is today we're monitoring our kids instead of training them. We're just trying to keep them safe. I think that's the most hateful word we can say to our kids. Just be safe. I just watched a little clip on YouTube, and it's amazing how unsafe we cared to be in the 50s and 60s. We did some crazy things in those days, and it was just because it was fun. Anybody remember Cherry Bomb? It's hard to find them anymore. Nowadays, you bring a gun, people look at you weird. You bring fireworks. We're going to fire some fireworks, Lord willing, out here. And it's going to be big. It's going to sound big. But we just did it. We need more of that. The fourth thing is the gauge of the last generation. I'm just going to go through these. I don't have time to read them all. But in verses 19 through the end of the chapter of chapter 1 and to the end of the chapter, we see some things about the last generation. The first thing is they accepted failure. One thing that was sad about the last generation, they accepted failure. Are you hearing me? Listen, folks, never accept failure. Failure comes. Acknowledge it, but don't accept it. And I'll give you a reason. Failure is not final. It's only final when you make failure as your finality. You're accepting it. And the word came to Jonah the second time. He failed the first time to deliver the message. But the Bible says, and the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Listen, we have a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. How about 450 second chances for some of us? Don't stop. Don't allow it. But they followed failure. We find that in verse 27 of chapter 1, if you would, please. The Bible says, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshemen. Did you see that? Neither did. The Lord said, I want you to drive out all of the bad out of your land. Get rid of everything bad. Listen, when you go to your house and you see bad in your house, you need to get rid of it. I have a statement I always say. Sin should never be a visitor or an occupant in your home. Always an invader. And when we see sin as an invader or worldly things, we need to get them out. And don't just give them a place to stay, a room to stay in. They followed it. You had one, and then another one did. They managed failure. Look at verse 28. And it came to pass when Israel was strong, they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. So what happens when they got strong enough to get rid of them? Instead of get rid of them, they said, oh, we can make money off these people. Oh, I can sell this bad thing to someone else and make money off of it. Why don't you just get rid of it? The Lord says, I can take care of the price of that. Don't worry about it. I can replace it. But not only that, we also see in verse 34, they were overcome. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in the Mount Heres and Hajalon and in the Shalom Bim. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from going up to Akribam from the rock and upward. So they got overcome by failure. This is a sad part about sometimes the last generation. We have seen it in our church. We've seen people get overcome and fail and quit. And you don't see them around right now. Some of the kids in school failed this year. What I mean by failed is they didn't finish. That's sad. Let's don't do it next year. Come on, amen? Let's work hard to do it next year. So let's see the goal, if you would please. The goal, the last thing, the goal of the last generation. What's my goal for you? And what's the goal that our generation wants from you? Look at verse 5 of chapter 1. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. Sorry. I looked up there and said Joshua, and it's the wrong one. Joshua 1, not Judges 1. Joshua 1, verse 5. Sorry. Joshua 1, verse 5. What's our goal? Number one, if you would please, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage, be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Chapter 2, if you would, please. Chapter 24. I keep messing, my mind keeps going to the wrong place. Sorry. Chapter 24. And I'm just going to read a couple verses in this, if you would, please. Verse 14 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, in the Egypt, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we forsake the Lord to serve other gods." And it goes all the way down to verse 27. But if you would please, what is the goal of the last generation? What's the goal for us? The first one is to teach you, don't compromise obedience for results. Never compromise obedience for results. Don't lower your standards so you get more in your Sunday school class. Don't cheat on your test so you can get a better grade. Don't plagiarize your reports. Don't cheat. Don't compromise at all so you can get good results. Always look to work in obedience. Always work into following the Lord, because the Lord said, if you follow me, you'll have good success, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. Now, I don't know about you, but that is my goal for every student in the class. One of the things I don't like lying, and I don't like cheating. I don't like it in our institute, and I don't like it in our school. And so why are we doing that? Obedience. Follow the Lord, and don't worry about the results. You follow the Lord, you'll end up with good results. Number two, don't continue to fail. I don't like people giving up. I've seen too many kids over the years say, "I'm behind, that's it, I'm done. I hear them say this, "I'll never catch up." You're right. With that attitude, you never will. Don't do that. Don't bow down to failure. Stand up and say, "Hey, with effort." And I try to give them a pace. I try to show them, if you do one extra a week, you'll finish up a pretty good time. Maybe only half a year late. I always look at it this way. If you're 6 weeks late and you do one more week next week, now you're only 5 weeks late. Amen? If you only do one subject, then you're one subject less per week. You just get it done. I tell the guys in the institute, man, first thing, don't have, like, we had a guy in our church years ago. I know he was joking, but he retired from being a tile man. He did tile and flooring for years. His name was Bill Gerber, and he used to have a famous saying. He'd always tell me, he goes, "Pastor, why do something today that you could put off for tomorrow?" He's telling me that all. I said, "You know you have that backwards." He goes, "Not since I've retired." I always tell him, man, get it done. Listen, get your work done, then play is more pleasurable. Lastly, do conquer defeatism. Don't be defeated. Don't be defeated. Grace for all generations is that God set a judge to guide. He always set a judge to guide the children of Israel. That's supposed to be your parents. If you don't have parents, that's supposed to be your pastor. The saving of the people. He always showed salvation. He always took care of us. Lastly, sending a messenger. The angel of the Lord in chapter 2 came and said this. According to scriptures, I'm an angel, a messenger of God. I know it's kind of hard to imagine a pastor named Savage being an angel. I give you this. We of the last generation will pledge to you, the next generation, to continue in the things for which we have been taught, so you can be taught and that you can know the Lord. Let's bow our heads.